What do you think is a virtue that's overrated?
What's a virtue?
Value. Like something that you seek, a value that you seek in someone, like things like honesty or like, yeah, bravery.
Give me some options.
No, no option. Just it's completely up to
It's
you.
overvalued.
Overrated, overrated, overrated
Overrated.
virtue. Like you think it shouldn't be a virtue, basically. This is one of the I came across this earlier today when I was just scrolling through social media, and this is a question in what's called the Proust questionnaire.
It depends on who am
Okay,
I
just gonna
seeking.
suddenly start.
Hello guys, welcome back to another episode of the
No, I
Checking Out
wanted to
podcast.
we can do this as like the pre-intro
Okay.
chat.
No, it's okay. It depends on what
No,
kind of.
I meant that you just cut in, like
That's
while I
okay, that's
was
okay.
trying to explain what the Proust
Okay.
questionnaire is.
It's okay. Like, you can explain that a bit after. It depends on who am I seeking, right?
Why? It's general.
No. It's like if I'm seeking a worker and or if I'm seeking a
No,
friend.
virtue. Do you understand what a virtue
No,
is?
I
Okay.
But from your explanation, it sounds like a value that you think is important.
Yeah, in people.
Okay, yeah, it depends on who am I looking for. Is it a friend? Is it a
Meide.
okay. This is,
Meide is very
okay.
general. Come
Just
on.
then
Virtue is very general.
yes,
It's something that you apply to all humans.
okay. Then I think qianrang. I'm not sure that's in English.
Oh, being polite.
No, it's yeah, you don't have that saying in English, do you? It's
Let me
like
see. Yeah, that's curious. Because my virtue, the one I thought about instantaneously, is also one that's, yeah, kind of ingrained in the Chinese culture. So I'm keen to look it
okay.
up. Let me quickly.
Yeah, qianrang, it like is the one that springs to my head.
To modestly decline.
Yeah, to modestly
Humility.
well, it's like if you have access to a good stuff, you should
Yeah, modestly decline.
modestly decline and give the
Oh,
opportunity to others.
unambitious.
Not really.
Why? Modest. Yeah, modest. Modest and unambitious in
Yeah,
terms of
like it's very
things.
hard to explain in English because we don't have that culture here. Or like people don't really they
No,
deliberately
I feel like they
encourage it.
value the opposite. They encourage the opposite, which is you should just go for it.
I think it's just like it's like it got places for both.
No, I feel like it's a very fine line between being like genuinely polite and caring for other people around you, and you know, overdoing it and like kind of suppressing your own desires or ambitions and like yeah, not truly being truthful to yourself, that kind of
Yeah,
stuff.
so
Yeah.
that's the one I think it's very
Yeah, mine's
wrong.
very similar. Mine is actually very similar in the sense that it's also a virtue that I think people can kind of just do or have been trying to enforce in the past just out of the sake of like I don't know, like tradition that's been passed down and the fact that it's been spoken of as a virtue that you should have, like
Just say
if you follow the rules. I feel like yeah, because I wanted to just highlight like the qianrang part, you know, being overly modest. It's more to do with kind of trying to follow some kind of rule strictly rather than
Yeah.
acting out of your true will, which is what we talked about in conditional parenting, actually.
Unconditional parenting.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, this is a display of
Yeah.
conditional, yeah, because you're just trying to kind of sometimes you can blindly follow the rules without really being truthful, yeah, to yourself and
Because
to others.
I watched a video, so there is this very famous folk tale in like in China where Kongrong is
mm.
have access to two pears, and he gave away the big pear.
Have
to
access
the is given two pears, and he gave the big pear to the elders, and he was praised for and stuff. The video that I watched is a professor that talks about it and says that the only child that will do that is he already ate a pear before. And no one does that. But yeah.
So the one I was thinking about is 孝顺.
孝顺. Okay.
Yeah. Do you know what the English is? Because I had to look this one up for sure.
Being good to your parents.
yeah. Well, that's, you know, we probably would translate it into something like dutifulness or something like that. But actually, this is because this is actually a part of the Confucian Chinese Buddhist and Taoism like tradition or ethics. Like this Buddhism. Actually has a I think there is a minor difference though. I want to highlight this, but let me explain this first. So xiao is the thing that's in the beliefs, in the ethics and beliefs of Taoism and stuff. But that's, I think, what I'm specifically referring to is 孝顺, which is more like the more casual version, the customs and traditions, or like the things that people talk about or when they're trying to reinforce obedience, in my opinion. You know,
okay.
Like, I think there is a fundamental difference between the dutifulness that, Buddhism talks about, which I don't know, like, for certain what the definitions are. But I think there is a difference between that, the study of beliefs and ethics, and, yeah, what the common people refer to as being 孝顺, which I think lean more towards being obedient rather than...
Okay.
Being, you know, genuinely caring and loving.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And people that really cares about their parents don't have to act.
Exactly.
And so you're thinking that you don't like the surface values where you have to show and do certain stuff to show that you are, you know, good to your parents and stuff, but actually you're just trying, you're doing it for the sake of doing it.
Yeah, that's one aspect. Okay. And the other side is, which I think is sometimes it's even more important, is that 孝顺, it's being used as, how do I say this? It's a virtue or virtuous, like, characteristic that's being misused by the parents to...
Kidnap the kids.
Yeah, make the kids obedient. Like, kidnap them in terms of,
restrain their options.
Yeah. Okay. What's the right word? It's like, what's a better word for kidnapping someone? It's like controlling, being controlling, I guess. And I don't know. I'm a strong believer in parents are supposed to. It's a responsibility of the parent to raise their child as best they can.
Mm-hmm.
And whether or not the child feels, genuine gratitude, it's up to the child. It's,
of course.
Yeah, so it's not determined by the giver, but the given, the receiver, rather. And so, yeah, it's another virtue that I think shouldn't be implemented as a rule or like as a strict thing that you can compare with. You know, I give you 10 out of 10 out of 10, but I give my other son 5 out of 10, like that.
There isn't actually a virtue, is that for the parents to the kids?
Mm-hmm.
If you if you think about it, right? In traditional Chinese culture, parents can beat their kids.
That's because they think it's already enough that they've given you life.
Okay,
yeah.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah, but I think what is actually more important in the parent-child relationship is the raising. It's not the birthing. Mm. Yeah.
Mm. Okay.
生和养. It's very different.
Yes.
Yes.
And I think that if you're actually truly good to your kids, whether the kid is paying you back, it doesn't really matter because you are doing it because you enjoy raising the kid and having
exactly.
responsibility as a parent.
Exactly. And there is two different kinds. The correct, well, I shouldn't say the correct, but the, I don't know, the good kind of parenting is gaining from the experience of parenting, you know, gaining joy and love from the experience of
and
parenting.
I think that kids
not
will,
from the result.
Will feel that. And
yeah, exactly.
Will feel along the way that, you know, from a big perspective that my parents are genuinely good for me.
Of course, of course. There is also the other kind of raising where the parent basically wants the kid to become, you know, rich and successful just so they can give back that kind of, just so they can pay them back. And so it's completely, I want to say it's two different mindset of investment, because some parents are investing to feel, to grow with their kid, kind of to feel joy as they grow.
I think
and
it's
the
kind
other
of like
kind is
unfair.
Like raising so you can get a huge gain in the end.
I think it's a little unfair for us to say this right now because
it is, yes.
And because that tradition is coming from the very old China days where boys and girls are treated as labors basically and they are basically investments and so it's a little unfair for us to comment on, especially we're not parents right now. It's like it's much easier for us to say, and I believe that a lot of parents are driving nuts with their kids. So it's our opinion so far. It may change later on. We might hate kids later on. But oh,
yeah.
just another thing. I went to this seminar that's by, like, the presenter was the NASA. Well, not the NASA. The NASA? Like, the Australian curriculum guy for science. Like, the head. Like, he writes the syllabus for science.
Okay.
And there is one thing that he talks about.
Wait, what kind of people writes the syllabus?
Teachers. That
like,
does a
what
really
gives
good job.
Oh, okay. So what it's like, what's the requirement, prerequisite if you want to be someone that has
you
a
need
say
to have really good experience. And plus no one dictates what to put in syllabus. It's a group of teachers that moderate like each other's work and talk
so
about it.
So you have to be in this special group.
Yeah.
How do you get in the special group?
You have to work for the government basically.
So it's policy makers, not really teachers.
It's teachers going to a different area.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Is it because they have like research experience or something?
No,
or just
they just want to do it.
What?
Yeah.
Then like what's
it's
the
like
prerequisite? Is it the years of experience?
Yeah. Oh, and okay. Shows that you have done.
How do you show that you have done well in teaching?
Eddie Wu.
But
the
he
head
showed
guy for math.
How did he show it? Like
he showed that he has a very deep understanding of how to teach it.
Specifically by what?
Specifically by his influence on YouTube.
What about other people on the board, on the director board?
Of course,
board?
There are a lot of teachers that's on the board. You don't have to be just on the board and not be teaching.
I know. I'm genuinely curious. How do teachers actually show they have ability to teach well? If it's not judged by grades.
If it's not judged by grades, it is by your student feedback. And it can be very, very, very skewed. I know it's I know the system is not complete.
Or is there a system that like, you know, comes
they are trying to implement
supervise
one
over
where teachers give teachers a feedback. But it's not happening right now. It might happen in the future.
Coming
back to that, the talk that he gave, he doesn't have a script, but he can just talk on for 3 hours. I find that so amazing. And
that's what teachers do. What do you mean?
No. Like he just go around and around in a circle.
That's very inefficient.
It is. But
how's he on the board?
No. It almost feels like he's an old guy that's sitting all day in his office and finally he can able to talk. And he was a teacher in Bankstown. And Bankstown is famous for students coming from a lower economic background
mm.
and often have a violent personality to it. Let's just put it that way. And one of the things that he talks about is one of the students kind of challenged him to a fight.
What? Like a physical fight?
Yeah.
Not like a math fight, you know, writing on the chalkboard.
Well, he wished. And he's a bio teacher. And
draw the organelles.
And he asked us whether it is okay for teachers to defend themselves with violence.
Mm.
Do you think it is okay?
As in punch the kid back.
Defend yourself at least.
Punch the kid back. Yeah. Ooh. Yeah, like I think to a level, like if the goal and the intention is to keep yourself out of harm's way as much as you can. Yes, but there is a very fine line between, I feel like there's a very fine line between doing that, like self-defense, and kind of going overboard. And this is one of the tricky situations where your opponent is viewed as more vulnerable. And
okay.
So, you know, they may be favored if this becomes a charge against you.
Okay, yeah. Right. He said that you should never punch or involve violence when educating the kids.
Yeah.
And there's a couple of reasons. So first reason is you're encouraging it, basically. Like you're teaching it them the way that how to deal with it.
Yeah, that's what I said before. This is why, what's his name, Will Smith has been banned for 10 years.
All right, okay.
Because you're being on international TV.
Will Smith is a different story, like I feel like. And
okay.
Well, that's not
good. Of course. That's a different story. And but I mean the context of not encouraging it.
I don't fully agree with that. He had this way of saying that you should...
So what did he do?
He basically...
Yeah!
He basically stared the kids down until the kid backed out.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And cool. He used words...
Yeah.
And he made it really clear about the consequences that the kids will get into. And basically, he showed them who's the alpha male.
Yeah.
The other thing that he talks about.
Mm.
Let me try to remember. Oh, yes. And do you know...
Wait, I thought he was there to talk about the science curriculum.
We were thought so too, but he just started talking about his experience with teaching.
Okay.
But that's helpful anyway.
Yeah.
So the other thing, is, like last time that he mentioned in unconditional parenting is about not giving feedback about the... not giving positive feedback, right? Not giving positive reinforcement. What you saying? Like if someone did a good job, then here's a lollipop. Right.
Positive reinforcement.
Yeah, positive reinforcement
of behavior, okay. Not for good intention, that kind of stuff. That's different.
He talks about that kind of, but he doesn't really specifically saying that.
Mm.
So when
so my ideas have made you notice these more.
Yeah. But he did it in a better way.
Sorry. I only read 100 pages, so...
And he said that... So once one of the students got a full mark and he basically ran the parents in the middle of the class, I don't know how professional that is, and saying that, "Hey, Judy, I'm here to talk about your daughter, blah, blah, blah." Saying that, "Oh, no, she hasn't done anything wrong. She's behaving really well. I just want to say that you're doing your job, I'm doing my job, and she's doing her job. And by the way, that she's got full mark on her test. But don't give her any rewards for it." So his reason for that is he wants to let the kid enjoy the moment of receiving the full mark itself instead of the rewards that will come after it. Because once you gave them a bike or gave them,
Five.
Yeah, it drastically diminishes the actual joy of receiving the full mark.
Exactly.
He explained that so well.
But that's exactly what I said.
You said that it will people want to,
it takes the joy away.
Yeah,
because
yes,
you
yes.
start aiming for the reward instead of okay. you know, actually.
Yeah, so that comes up. I was like, oh, Catherine said that.
And yeah.
he explained it well.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And some of the other things that he talked about.
I thought you were gonna keep saying to keep talking about the defending yourself in a violent situation.
That one he didn't really specific.
You said you don't disagree. You don't agree fully.
I don't agree fully. Yeah.
Why?
Okay, so if a doctor is being violently abused by the patients, do you think that the doctor should defend himself?
Why are you trying to parallel this?
Because there are doctors that are being stabbed and people have this mindset that in those professions for like doctors and teachers,
okay.
they should not assault to result to violence. And I'm not encouraging that, but if that is your only way to defend yourself, you should absolutely defend yourself.
And like I said again,
and with
I
the
think
staring with the
staring competition.
And if it works, great. But what if it doesn't work?
I think that's not his point. I think his point is that you try to avoid violent contact.
Of course.
As much as you can.
Of course. That has to be the last resort. But yeah. It is one of the options, isn't it?
Yeah, nobody's saying the option is not there.
He is. Like, he's saying that you should never, even if the kids are beating you to death, you shouldn't defend yourself. Like you shouldn't punch back.
I think that's very similar to what I was talking to you about. Like, I think he has basically same value as me, which is like, if we really value peace and nonviolence, and want to reflect that in daily lives and in our teaching and in just being who we are, then you don't act, you don't cross that line, because that is your belief and your core value. And speaking about why it is one of the core values, like, to me, it's just, I can understand where you're coming from, because, you know, like, growing up again with a Chinese background, it's not that long ago that the entire country was very poor and, I guess, backwards and violent and abusive, just in a lot of its history and just a lot of the major events reflect this. And basically the point is, the communists don't have anyone that has their back, but that is not the goal of anyone, of any people, so groups of peoples. And the only way to move out of it is, well, like he said, you do not encourage, you do not demonstrate, you do not cross that line, you keep it as your core value so as to influence others and move towards the ultimate goal, which is there is no violence. And that is, you know, peace, no violence should be something, it should be the virtue of humans, because that's what, I guess, distincts us from animals, you know, the non-engagement in violence and the promotion, the encouragement of peace, and yeah, like, hurting people, yeah, just shouldn't,
okay.
It's not right.
I'm not saying that you should actively hurt people.
And
but I disagree with the China thing that they talk about, because yes, there are violent events that happened in very recent China, but throughout the Chinese history, every single kid is educated to be peace. If you look at which country to have not go into a war, China's probably one of the top ones.
That is not because teachings of nonviolence.
Oh, no. I'm not saying that. And you can, like...
No. What I mean is specifically in the last couple of decades, there is no one... For majority of the common working people, which is where we come from, like, people don't have your back. So it leads to people trying to resolve conflicts among themselves instead of trusting, the authority or a legal system. But that shouldn't be the case, is what I'm saying. Like, the teaching of you should defend yourself in a situation, in a conflict situation, by resorting to violence if necessary, that is because there is no better option. But I believe that we are now all moving towards there is always a better option. That's my point. Like, the point of... the core value of nonviolence and holding peace, like, that is nothing unless it actually manifests as a good system, a good legal system that protects people properly. And that should always be the option for everyone, regardless. And that is how we do not resolve to violence. So that's associated with... Yeah, there actually being a better solution.
Okay. I'm not saying that you should actively challenge people to a fight.
I know.
But I want to say that there is a fundamental difference between having a sword and using the sword. You need to at least have the options to defend yourself. But if whether to use it or not is your choice.
Of course. But I'm saying that that's only a discussion when there is nothing better.
When you go to China, when you see people having arguments, about 90% of the times they won't pull a punch.
Okay.
And because we always, in Chinese culture, we always have this thing of you should hold back and not resort to violence, and you should always have this 儒家 thinking and saying that we are... civilized people, we shouldn't resort to violence.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that most of the cases, violence is not the only option, and there are definitely ways out of it.
Mm.
But sometimes there isn't any other option. And second of all...
So do you reckon that the example that he gave was...
I think he did a really good job.
But you don't think you would have done the same?
I would have done the same. Yes, I would have.
Yeah, I think that's all that matters.
Yeah, I'm saying that.
But you're just saying, like, whether or not... yeah, like what you just said, having a sword is different from using the sword. I still think you side with not using it.
You need to use it when... I'm saying that everybody needs to have the sword at least.
To me, like, it's almost okay. How I see it is violence or violent thinking or ability, that is just already a part of fundamentally who we are. The act of choosing not to, that is drawing the picture of having the sword but not using it. Everybody already has the sword. That is why, you know, in our culture, violent stuff can be popularized, it's regarded as bad, dark, illegal, but everyone's aware that it's there. So for me, the definition of being violent is almost equated with going back to the primitive instinct.
What you said about,
like, being overthrown by emotions, not conforming to our beliefs and core values, that kind of thing.
The only thing I disagree with you, I agree with you completely, like, shouldn't go out to fighting and stuff. But the only thing I disagree with you is that for people that end up resorting to violence are considered weak. Like, you said that people that actually try to resolve other cases, other solutions other than violence are considered strong. That's the like you're saying that you need to have courage to back down, right? If you have the sword.
What? I think you don't have courage to back down.
Like, if you have the option to defend yourself. I'm not making any sense.
I kind of get what you're saying, but I think it's not that wishy-washy. It's just...
Okay, so do you have the courage to actually do a punch to someone if the time comes and to defend yourself? Because
I don't think it's a matter of courage.
That is courage, because I've been there. I know how hard it is to actually
hurt people.
Yeah. It's very hard.
Okay. I don't know. I don't know about that.
I
haven't thought about it. I haven't thought about it because I always thought about violence as something instinctive.
No, it's not.
Okay, I see what you're saying now, but I don't know. I haven't thought about it that way.
It's like you see all these movies that where assassins go to their first mission and try to kill their first people, right? It takes a hell of a lot of thinking, and I know it's not to that extent.
Yeah,
I know it's not to that extent, but. Coming from a civil, like we are from a civilized background,
okay.
Right?
Okay. If
you want to resort to violence and.
Yeah, it goes against.
Like your nature and thinking. It takes a hell lot of courage.
Because
I remember when I first got into a fight, after the fight, I was whole shaking, even though I wasn't hurt.
All right. Okay, because I was thinking this like in that isolated scenario where you are facing the more vulnerable population.
No.
The societally regarded okay. more vulnerable no. situation, like
you are not
like
always
your students,
on the,
you know.
You are not always on the higher end. You might be on the lower end. But at that instance, do you have the courage to fight back?
I don't know. Like I haven't.
And I believe that it is very well to be, if you are in a higher position, to not resort to violence, absolutely. But if you are the one that's being disadvantaged and being bullied and being hurt, I think it takes a lot of courage to people to fight back.
Okay, yeah. I think that makes sense.
Mm.
But again, like I think that is the reason why we should... strive for a better system that protects everyone.
I think it's very sad.
Yeah.
I feel bad for those that need to
exactly.
pull their
yeah,
courage
yeah, yeah,
up
yeah.
to like to defend themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
But
same.
Right now we don't have that system, and the only way to do that is to fight back.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. I think our difference is standpoints. Like I want to be more positive that this can like we can reinforce change.
Absolutely,
whereas,
yes.
Really? But you feel your view feels more pessimistic to me.
Okay, the reason why if you have a system, there's going to be corruptions. That's inevitable. And what would you do then? If someone's at a higher position that controls everything and have the authority to control everything, there is definitely going to be some backdoors.
Yeah, that's why I think your view is more pessimistic.
There,
you're basically arguing that although it could be done, although the utopia could be, you know, the utopia. You're basically saying my thinking is too utopian and
it is.
The perfect world doesn't
yeah.
exist. Yeah.
Of course, I will definitely want the
yeah,
ideal
yeah, yeah.
scenario,
that's what I mean. Like,
yeah,
that's why our standing is different.
Humans are irrational, and we can't
okay.
say that.
Yeah, I think we can agree to disagree, and I think like we kind of clarified many
we,
sides.
We have
of this.
This a middle ground here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Cool,
okay.
Cool.
What else do you want to talk about?
We haven't recorded in so long, and for the previous, for the week before last week, I think, I wanted to talk to you about the movie that we watched.
Which is?
Everything, Everywhere, oh, All right. At Once.
Yes.
And then, like, we did, for some reason, didn't record for 2 weeks. Why? I think it's just because you had a lot of...
things that went on.
Yeah, you had a lot of things, and you wanted to take out more of our weekend time to do sporty stuff, I guess.
Sorry.
Which is okay. No, I understand. It's just like awkward timing.
Yeah.
Because we only kind of spend the weekends together. But I understand that if you want to play sport with other people also only free on the weekend. So yes, I don't know. We'll work it out somehow. But the reason I wanted to talk to you about it was, I guess, just what you think to start with.
Okay. I went to the movies.
And also, maybe we can talk about the whole experience because it was the first time we watched Gold Class.
Okay. The Gold Class was a little gimmick, I feel like.
Okay. I like the red potato chips, though.
Okay, right. Sure. Okay. The red potato chips were nice. The experience was nice, yeah, but I don't think that it elevated as much as an IMAX experience. I feel
it
like
was IMAX.
I know.
So you're saying IMAX on top experience of IMAX, yeah, it wasn't a huge deal.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I mean, if the food was free, then that would be...
No, crap. If the food was free, I would...
It would be like a buffet. Yeah, buffet plus movie.
Yeah.
Oh, someone please make that. I will come. I would legit come by. I guess that's... hard to.
Okay. The movie, I went to the movie because I haven't heard of the movie before. I didn't went into with any expectation.
Yeah.
But after around 30 minutes of watching it, I kind of know what the movie is talking about. It's about, they're talking about Asian parents.
Oh, that's how you thought about it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like the first thing that came to my mind is how the Asian, especially the migrant, because the parents have this very Asian way of thinking, and the kids have grow up in a Western country, have a different way of thinking.
Okay.
It reminded me a lot of the TV show Fresh Off the Boats.
Okay. I thought you would, this is unexpected, because I thought you would comment more on like the media of the film and...
Media of the film.
Like how it was done in multiple... ways. There were literally like PowerPoint slides in the middle. how the directors were expressing their ideas in whatever way they want, that's like kind of unconventional in today's big cinema movies.
Okay.
Yeah.
But
yeah, keep going. I like it, where you're going.
It didn't, like, I noticed it, but it wasn't that a bigger deal for me. Like
I think we were spoiled by Spider-Man Into the Universe.
Okay.
Like, for me, I was. But I was surprised. But I was... it's a pleasant thing to see that being explored in, like, live-action films.
What else? Yeah, that's all.
So you thought the film was about Asian parent thinking versus... kids who grew up in a different culture thinking.
That's one of the main thing that I felt like was important for the film.
Okay.
And another thing is that how Asian families express love, how Asian, especially Asian moms or tiger moms, express their appreciation for their family.
Which is the lack of it. Which is the lack of the expression.
Yeah. Yep. That's all.
I think for me, a very key point I got out of it that is maybe potentially different to other people is the mother-daughter relationship.
Okay.
Which is kind of similar to where you were going. But... how do I say this? Like, there is... you know how, like, in a household, I think, you know, in the beginning scenes, what they were trying to showcase is that Evelyn, the mother, is basically the one kind of taking care of everything, trying to sort out everything. That is the kind of expectation we have for mothers and mothers only, not really for the dads.
Oh, I'll disagree with that. I definitely disagree with that.
What do you mean?
The reason why the dad doesn't do anything is not because he's incapable of doing it. It's because that the mom that does not trust him doing it, right?
Why do you think that is?
What do you mean?
No, think about it. Why do you think like we regard the husbands as the one that's not trustworthy?
No, it's not that. It's just that the mother that does not trust the husband.
No, I don't think it's just the mother, because we make lots of jokes about, you know, the dad taking care of the kid be like this, memes, you know, that kind of stuff. I feel it's a general joke shares.
No. I just want, without involving the kids, I'm just talking about the responsibilities between the parents about their work.
Okay.
Like, do you know on the final scene where the husband actually talked to the tax lady and the Evelyn was like, oh no, he's gonna ruin everything, but it turns out to be okay. And a lot of Asian moms think that the husband will mess everything up. I know it because my mom kind of does that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Where my mom has
and
to
And do you
be,
think that's not true?
It is not true to an extent.
Why only to an extent?
Because if you gave if you gave a job to my mom and my dad, my mom would definitely do it better than my dad. It could be because my dad that doesn't have the experience for it, because my mom has done it so many times. Or the other one is that, yeah, I think it's just that my dad hasn't exposed to it.
I think so too. Like, men are generally not exposed to the same stuff. They are not given the, I don't want to use the word opportunity, but they are not given the opportunity, because I feel like the more burdensome chores are always given to the women, and they are taught growing up to take care of those things.
Yes.
And thus they have had more practice.
Yes.
So it is still kind of the roles assigned to the women
and
in the patriarchy.
And you know how even right now in China, some relationships where it's only girlfriends and boyfriends, like the boyfriends gave all the income to the girlfriends. Do you know that? Yeah, it's basically like you are going away from your mother-son relationship into a girlfriend-boyfriend relationship, but you're still treating the girlfriend as like your mother, because you give all the money to the girlfriend.
That's slightly different, I feel like, because sometimes people do it out of like a way to impress, but a very bad way impress.
I don't think anyone's impressed.
How do you say it? Exactly. Like, how do you... it's a very... like, being tight. But interesting thing that you bring up, it's like the man still being the baby, though. Yeah, I feel like... people say men never grow up. It's not really because they never grow up. It's just because they weren't put under the same... expectations. Yeah, they don't learn because they weren't taught.
Men, okay, some men. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Let's not pull everything to the basket.
But I like that you mentioned about the husband talking, to the tax lady and bringing Evelyn out of the mess, because that actually is not a very typical kind of Asian relationship example, but I feel like that is more exploring Evelyn's character, actually. Like,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
So I think that's our main difference, because for me, that is a very typical Chinese family, where the mom takes care of everything and dictates everything, and the kids and the husbands, because in Shanghai, that is around about 70 to 80% of what the family looks
okay.
like.
Okay. Okay, fair enough. But I think it's also very revealing. I can say it's also very revealing for Evelyn's character, because she in this world, in this universe that they were originally in, I don't know how to describe it. It's a multiverse movie. She's in a mess. It's her life is super chaotic, and she just doesn't seem to be able to find peace.
She doesn't realize that at the beginning.
Yeah, she doesn't realize that she already has peace, which is her family, especially her husband.
Yeah,
like in whatever in all the different universe, what's her husband's name again? Wei or something?
Jackie Chan. I feel like
it
looks like Jackie Chan.
No. Anyways, the husband is actually always having her back and being her source of peace. It's just that in this world she didn't realize that, she wasn't recognizing that. Even the fact that the husband was trying to show her the divorce papers was to be able to fix their relationship rather than to end it, but she just didn't have the same, she didn't have, she wasn't seeing it. But the husband was being her piece. But going back to what I was saying about the mother-daughter though, what was the key thing that I wanted to say? Yeah, the moms are like laden with chores, and the whole film, I feel like the mom and the daughter were not, has no or like a severe lack of emotional connection, which is super common, typical in the patriarchal society, because lack of emotional connection, emotional connection. Yep. Neither of them know how to express love for each other or care for each other, and part of it, I guess, is to do with the lack of emotional education maybe the Asian immigrant kids tend to get from their family. But part of it, I think, also stems from the mother-daughter relationship is just very tricky.
Actually more tricky than mother-son relationships.
It is, because in mother-son relationships, the roles are completely defined.
Yeah.
And the mothers 100% knows that the son does not grow up to be her, whereas daughters are raised with the potential to be basically same as the mom. Mm. But once the daughter start deviating from that trajectory that the mothers have planned for their daughter, because, you know, that's just natural because the times are different, especially in a fast advancing society that we are in today, it's very difficult for the mothers. Especially, you know, nowadays, the daughters tend to be the one that's, you know, getting more better resources, having more opportunities, being able to do things that their mothers might not have had the same opportunity in the past. So for example, my mom didn't get to go to university, whereas I have now progressed to do my PhD. And you can't just, these things are just become burdens to the relationship because, just the stark contrast between who the daughters actually become versus what the mothers have envisioned for their daughters. Mm-hmm. Whereas for sons, it's very simple. They always knew that the sons are going to take on a different role in society to themselves. Mm. Whereas it's very, very different, very complicated for mother and daughters. Especially, like, another example is how like in the boomers eras, or specifically I can't recall the year, like maybe 1980s or something, like imagine first generation female like university students, like it used to be a very unpopular choice because the daughters were expected to get married after they have had a basic education and have their own babies and start a family, that kind of thing. Whereas working and getting education have started to open up as another possible route, another possible version of their lives. And there is a lot of actually resentment between mothers and daughters as the daughters grow up and start to become independent, because it's just very difficult for... So the daughters tend to think that the mothers are not standing up for themselves, are not doing enough, are not living for themselves. They think they should do more. Whereas the mothers think, like, you are this because of me, and you have, you know, better opportunities. And they are actually, most of them are even very envious of their daughters because they're living a better version of life. Mm. Yeah, so a lot of... I used to think this is... And I believe many people too think that this is their family issue. It's only them. But after reading more on this, I realized that this is a societal problem in the patriarchy, and it's not a problem that exists between mother and sons, and fathers and sons, yeah, and fathers and daughters.
I want to clarify that.
Mm.
The only ones that I see this kind of problem is immigrants.
Okay.
And
I don't agree. It's not in immigrants only.
Immigrants, it's
exaggerated. Yes, it's magnified. It's magnified because the daughters grow to see
the Western way.
Yeah, and their worldviews change more rapidly, and they are exposed to much different resources and better opportunities.
Like the Eastern and the Western culture clashes.
But it's not just the immigrants.
And I know that.
But it's just magnified.
Yes, just a lot obvious in immigrants.
Yes.
And yeah, and with the language also. Because a lot of immigrants, like ABCs, probably won't speak Chinese really well.
Mm-hmm.
And their way of communication may be a little difficult. For example, like how do they really talk about how they feel?
Mm-mm.
With that, you want to have a deeper conversation.
Mm.
Then it's a little hard.
Yeah, yeah. Language also shapes your way of thinking.
Yeah.
It shapes your logic, your expressions. And there's going to be a gap. Mm. And it's very... Yeah, I'm so like fascinated by this issue. Yet this is one that I have no idea how I can improve upon. Yeah. But it's again made me more interested in women's education, that kind of topics, because I still think that the only way to move towards fixing it or move towards having an approach to these issues is by making more people aware and discussing it openly. Like I said before reading about this, I had no idea that this was such a common issue. I also thought that was just me. There was a problem with our relationship, yet it's actually such a common pattern in society. And I think, this and potentially many other issues should be made aware of by more people. Yeah.
I think that a lot of every single parents kids relationship have their own problems. For example, like I don't think that you had this one where the parents didn't achieve something in their young days and they put the pressure on their kids to achieve the same. I don't think that you had that pressure, but my mom and dad definitely did, because my mom really wanted to learn piano. And she can't afford a piano. So in my young days, she basically forced me to go to piano classes and basically beat me so I could practice. And it wasn't fun. So I think every parents and kids got relationships, got their own problems.
But I don't think many of them are unique.
Of course, there are definitely ones that are more common.
I think... after this reflection, I believe that the majority, or there's more problems that are common and societal than we realize.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So things like what you said, it's now well known.
Probably a big one.
Yeah, that's a well-known one that's common between different families. But I think, other ones, there's a lot of potential to be explored and to be recognized and to be discussed, to be learned about. It's very interesting.
Mm,
yeah,
absolutely.
Cool. I think we can wrap it up here.
Yeah, okay.
It's like a random episode, but hopefully you found some of our discussion interesting. Topics interesting and yeah, explore on your, like inspiring you to explore more on your own. And yeah, we'll see you next week.
Yeah. See ya. Bye.
Bye.